But whatever the case, and Hagen apparently paid some of his assistants to plagiarize E.W. Kenyon's work so you can put them columns side by side, which is what McConnell did. He got his Master of Arts in Theology from Oral Roberts University, and he was fed up with these Frederick Price and these preachers coming in. So he did his master's thesis on it and then got it published, titled The Different Gospel. And so P.P. Quimby was teaching this mind science or mind cure beliefs. Now, Mary Baker Eddy grew up in a Christian home. She had attacks of hysteria and screaming to get her away as a child. Her father thought she was demon-possessed. Sounded like a guy with really good discernment. She was thought to be a medium, where she would hold seances with her friends. Her first husband left her due to her tantrums, so these tantrums continued on into adulthood. Doesn't sound like a person you would want to follow. But she founded the Science of Health in 1866, 1 month after Quimby's death. And a case could be made that she plagiarized his writings. Later, she called it Christian Science. She claimed that she was on her deathbed in a hospital due to a fall on an icy sidewalk. While dying, she realized that God is spirit and the physical realm does not exist. Sin, death, and disease were also illusions. And due to this revelation, she rose on the third day, healed. And she believed that Jesus taught Christian Science, that his disciples misunderstood him. Now it was up to her to tell the world. And in reality, her healing power was either cultic, mental, psychosomatic, or just plain hoaxes. But there are people, you can hypnotize a person. You could hypnotize a person and have it leave effects on their body. There are hypnotists who can hypnotize a person so that they can get welts on their bodies, and then can hypnotize them to get the welts off. And so there are people that stress out, and because they stress out, they have sicknesses and stuff. So if you get somebody with enough hypnotic persuasion, they can actually heal people. And that's just the psychosomatic type stuff, okay? And, but she died toothless. So here she was, the physical realm is an illusion. There's no disease, but I guess tooth decay set in. Toothless and diseased in 1910. She said she wanted to be buried with a phone, so she was buried with a phone. The late Dr. Walter Martin said he would pay any long-distance charges, because she was supposed to call back or say that physical realm's an illusion. I'm using this illusion called a telephone to call you back or whatever. But her headquarters in Boston, Massachusetts, at one time 75% of the members were female. They once had over 500,000 serious members and over 3 million dabblers. The cult is now in serious decline. An offshoot of the Christian Science cult is Unity School of Christianity. And Unity School of Christianity is still doing rather well. So you got Christian Science cult, and then you got Unity. But one of the main differences in the Christian Science cult is Mary Baker Eddy only. It's her way or the highway. With the Unity School of Christianity, because the views of Christian Science are very close to the New Age movement's views. But with Unity School of Christianity, the Fillmores are very open to other religions. So very similar But these guys have embraced New Age type thought. These guys never would. It's like, no, 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 Mary Baker Eddy, she's the authority. And so because they're stuck in their ways, Christian Science cult is on the way out.
So what about, isn't it the same as the one that really, all the actors and actresses and all the...
No, that's Scientology. That's a totally different thing. Yeah, we'll get to that later. Okay, so refutation of Christian Science theology. We're not really going to be able to spend a lot of time on it, so I'll give you kind of an overview of the verses, probably without looking them up. You can look them up in your free time, or you can just hold on to this notebook, and then if you ever have to dialogue with them, break it out. But they believe that God is impersonal or non-personal. God is a principle, not a person. Just like Hinduism and the New Age movement, God is a force, so it's like Star Wars. The force be with you, rather than like Christianity, the Lord be with you. They redefine the Trinity as life, truth, love, and soul, spirit, mind. But you find the God of the Bible, when he speaks to Moses from the burning bush, he says, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He uses a personal pronoun, Exodus 3:14. God loves us. A non-personal force like electricity can't love you. John 3:16, God loves us, and because there he sent his son. He can give us moral commands. He has shown you, oh man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you. Micah 6:8. He can reason with us. Isaiah 1:18. These are all attributes of a personal being. And so God is personal, not a non-personal force. They teach that Jesus is not uniquely God, when the Bible clearly teaches that he is God. John 1:1, verse 14, you know, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And Titus 2:13, the blessed hope of the church, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. They say, no, Jesus is not uniquely God. In fact, Jesus is not the Christ. 1 John 5:1 says, it's the Antichrist that denies that Jesus is the Christ. But Christian Science cult teaches Jesus is a mere man. He had the divine consciousness or the divine idea in him, which is also in us. Jesus just practiced this divine consciousness better than anybody else had up to until Mary Baker Eddy. Okay? And so it's kind of like Jesus is not the Christ, but Jesus has the Christ consciousness. So he's Jesus Christ. But that would mean that I have the Christ consciousness too, so you could call me Phil Christ. Now, do I practice the Christ consciousness in a really good manner? Well, yes, if I acknowledge the physical realm is an illusion, and sin is not real, and the flesh is not real, and death is not real.
Their teeth obviously were not real.
Yeah, there you go. And in fact, that involves, when I used to do jail ministry on Sundays when Bremerton had a jail, back in the early to mid-1980s, out of all the years I did it, I never had a guy behind bars refuse to admit that he was a sinner, except for one. And that guy was a Christian Scientist. And so when I left him, I told him, I said, I know you don't acknowledge that the physical realm is real and that sin is real. But I said, I tapped on the bars and I said, these bars are real. They're solid. And only one of us is going home tonight. And so you need to step into the real world because you need a real Savior. And but it's really sad that, you know, this guy wouldn't acknowledge he was a sinner. And I thought, dude, how much more evidence you need? You're in jail. And then I found out, okay, he's a Christian Scientist.
So they could get really bizarre. because if everything's an illusion to me, you may not be really real, or you could be thinking what you want in your, I mean, everybody's their own illusion.
Yeah, they don't usually end up, because of Mary Baker or any of his friends, with solipsism. Idealism, there is no physical realm, only ideas exist. Well, eventually that leads to solipsism, where, well, wait a minute, if only ideas exist, then Kyle doesn't even exist except as an idea in my mind. Mary Baker Eddy, even though God is one being and God is everything, and the physical realm is an illusion, she still doesn't, she's not as consistent as Hindus are, where they start arguing that there's no distinct existence between my existence and your existence. So it's kind of like, if I understood her correctly, she's kind of open to the possibility of many, multiple minds that need to realize, that need to eventually merge to the one universal mind. But she at least acts like all reality exists in my mind. She doesn't act that way when dealing with others, but she did promote the idea you create your own reality, which kind of would lead to solipsism if she were logically consistent, which she probably wasn't. You'll see that, you know, in the whole name and claim it movement, creating your own reality. The Holy Spirit is just the divine science. So it's kind of like, and by the way, you'll see that in the Health, Wealth, and Prosperity movement. When you talk about the Holy Spirit, it's almost like the Holy Spirit is just a formula to get you what you want to get. I put in a dollar, I push Coke, and boom, out comes a Coke. And they get God reduced to a Coke machine. And God sets these laws in motion that even he can't violate. So, in fact, when Frederick Price went to Oral Roberts University as the chapel speaker, and said, so you see, this passage commands us to command God, and if we command God, he has to give us what we commanded him to give us. And at that point, one of their theology professors, a Pentecostal, but not a hyper-Pentecostal like Frederick Price, a Health and Wealth guy, stood up and screamed out, he couldn't help it, he screamed out heresy. And then Oral Roberts called him up onto the stage and made him apologize in front of the whole student body to Frederick Price, who had just had the audacity to say that we could command God, and God has to obey him. And it was at that point that McConnell or McDonald, whatever his name was, said, okay, I know exactly what I'm writing my master's thesis on. He wrote a different gospel. Where he tells you that in his book, and he calls these guys out. I guess that poor professor needed his job so bad that he just apologized. I said, Oral, you take a hike. You're going to stand up for that kind of, you know. I mean, you know, and then E.W. Kenyon taught it, and Hagin started to, that we're the manifest sons of God, and that we're actually gods with a small g. There's only room for one God in Christianity, and it's the triune God. So they deny that the Holy Spirit is a person. Of course, Acts 5, 3, and 4, the Holy Spirit can be lied to. The Holy Spirit can speak. Acts 13, verse 2. They claim Jesus' blood does not cleanse from sin. In fact, Mary Baker Eddy went so far to say that if Jesus of Nazareth had never died on the cross, it would make no difference to her.
So they're just saying he died because he believed in this cause, he was killed by bad people, or what, do they?
No, actually, he didn't die. There were no bad people because there's no such thing as bad. So death is part of the illusion. But just the fact that she could just blatantly come right out and say that is pretty messed up. But Jesus is not the way. He's the way shower, and the way that he showed us is the divine science, Christian science. And of course, the Bible teaches in like 1 John 1:7-9 that we acknowledge our sins before the Lord, and he cleanses us from our sin through the bloodshed of Jesus. 1 Peter 2:24-3:18, Jesus died on the cross for our sins. John 14:6, Jesus is the only way for us to be saved. He's not just a way shower. They teach sin is not real, it's an illusion. Look at 1 John 1. John 1:8-10, it says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So if we say we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves, okay? And that's exactly what Mary Baker Eddy was saying. Matthew 1:21, Jesus, his name will be called Jesus because he's going to save his people from their sins. John the Baptist looked at Jesus. John 1:29 said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So the Bible makes no sense whatsoever if you deny sin. And so that's why I say that Christian Science cult is just Hinduism, and then let's take a few hundred Bible verses totally out of context and pretend that it teaches that, you know. But the thing is, too, is that I don't think Mary Baker Eddy, when she picked up her Bible, was purposely trying to deceive people. I think she really believed the garbage that she believed, and then that was the grid through which she read the Bible. So it's kind of like somebody's convinced that their worldview is true, and the Bible's a big enough book, 66 books, where you could eventually take some passage out of context that'll sound like it teaches what you want it to teach.
Now, how do they address like the obvious scripture like this? Do they address it the same way as the Mormons do? We believe in the Bible. Well, it's not interpreted correctly. How do they address these issues that obviously go way against what their beliefs are?
Yeah, and if you go down to point J, you said the Bible isn't reliable. It's not so much the Bible. It's kind of like, in her way of thinking, Jesus was the greatest, until her at least, proclaimer of the mind science cult, but the apostles didn't always get it right. So the Bible isn't totally reliable. The ultimate authority is Mary Baker Eddy's teachings herself, her work, Science and Health, the Key to the Scriptures. So if you really want to understand the Scriptures, even though they're not fully reliable, you just read Mary Baker Eddy stuff. So her Science and Health, the Key to the Scriptures, time and time again, she argued that that's superior to the Scriptures.
Well, kind of like Ellen G. White and the Seventh-day Adventists.
Yeah, but at least they're closer to the biblical text.
Yeah.
Whereas Mary, if you showed Ellen G. White a verse that contradicts her teaching that she never saw before, it would probably phase her.
Okay.
But Mary Baker Eddy is not going to phase her at all. She is the authority.
So
Ellen G. White thought she was getting her authority from the Bible, and from God's voice through her as a prophetess. Mary Baker Eddy considered herself the authority, period.
So what was the thing, like, you see this constant theme so far in this series of classes, that a lot of these cults are starting mid to late 1800s. So what was going on in the 1800s, the mid to late 1800s, where these cults started, like, falling away from biblical truth and started this growth of...
Yeah, the best that I could see is you've got people coming to America, very few, you know, from like great places like Great Britain, very few in the 1600s till it gets closer to the 1700s. Then through the 1700s they're coming, and they're usually bringing their religious views with them. But these are pioneers. These are going places, boldly going places. No white man's been before, at least. And they usually bring with them, you know, Church of England, Quakers, you know, and things of that sort. But as you get out further and further away, you know, and you say, well, there's lots of land that I'm going to move away from my family, and you know, you get kind of the, almost what we would view as kind of the hillbilly types, where you get these people groups that are so isolated from others, and that the Bible might be the only thing they do have, and so they're no longer connected with like the Church of England or with you know, Baptist preachers. So you start getting people separated where they're either just studying the Bible on their own, or, you know, they're easier to kind of critique people. The other thing is, you look at the different times of when the Great Awakenings were in America, and you'll usually see this type of thing in a in-between time period. But certainly, as, you know, Americans are, you know, growing and spreading around and stuff. Now, having said this, so that gets the source of just bad Bible teaching. But, you know, Mary Baker Eddy, she grows up in a Christian home, and it's in Boston, Massachusetts. And, I mean, she's not even out in the boondocks like upstate New York, like Joseph Smith. But I do think that there was... you know, there was some travel going on, and people were coming back with stories from India and things of that sort. And now certainly the main bombardment with Hindu type thought didn't come until 1893 with the World Parliament of Religions in Chicago. But I think there was some knowledge of that. So it's a tough one to call, but you definitely get, in the early, you know, starting with Mormonism, it could have been a demonic thing. It could have been Americans enjoying freedom. I mean, you know, Joseph Smith's come on the scene not long after the Constitution. And so it could have been enjoying this American freedom and starting to get away from not only government authority, but religious authority as well. So it's a tough one to say. She definitely was not on the... I mean, when I talk about the hillbilly side of it, that's just a lack of good, solid biblical preachers. But she's in an area where you got a lot of well-trained people. Now, there were... I believe in Boston, there were some schools that were pushing it. I can't remember for the life of me. There's a school that teaches mind science, and I think it's still around to this day in the Boston area. And I don't know if it came out of Mary Baker Eddy's thought, or if it was something that was even D.B. Gwendy even before. So yeah, but a lot of mind science cults came up into existence around the same time. And the ones that came like a generation later, like Unity School of Christianity, were just offshoots of Christian Science. So Bible going right back to the fall. Sin is real, Genesis 3:1-7. Death, pain, and sickness do not exist. All of this, everything that they teach contradicts the Word of God. Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed for man to die once and then comes the judgment. God said, if you sin, if you disobey me, you should surely die, Genesis 2:16-17. And in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Eternal punishment does not exist. We already covered those passages with the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Seventh-day Adventists. The material universe is an illusion. Now Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. In fact, Jesus created not only the visible creation, but even the invisible things like angels. And so the material universe is real. Jesus even said, touch my wounds when he rose from the dead. Give me some food. He ate food in their midst. He wasn't deceiving them. He was telling the truth. Satan is just a symbol for deception. He's not a personal being. The Bible teaches that he is a personal being. Again, we've got all the passages listed down there, just some of the passages. All are already saved, though most don't realize it. Now, the Bible teaches that most people are on the road to destruction, and few people are going to be saved, and there's going to be an end time judgment, separation of the sheep and the goats, the great white throne judgment. There's going to be those in the Lamb's Book of Life, true believers, going to heaven, whereas those who reject Christ will be tormented in hell forever. So this idea that everyone's already saved isn't biblical. And then the virgin birth, her view there was that Jesus was born of Mary's spiritual thoughts. Again, the physical realm isn't real. Death isn't real. So in the end, Jesus dying on the cross, not a real event. Virgin birth, not a real event. Just Mary's spiritual thoughts. So you can see with the Christian Science cult, it's not scientific. I mean, science is studying, it's knowledge attained through the five senses. If there is no physical world to be studied, it's not science, okay? And it's definitely not Christian. So the Christian Scientists are not Christian and they're not scientists. They're 0 for 2. And anybody have any questions on that? Because if not, I'm going to try to go right into a very similar belief system, the Unity School of Christianity. It was founded in 1889 by Charles and Myrtle Fillmore. So you can see that Mary Baker Eddy started Christian Science in 1866, so this is just 23 years later. Now, Charles and Myrtle Fillmore published a monthly metaphysical magazine called Modern Thought. Supposedly, Myrtle had 6 months to live. She had tuberculosis, which was very common back then, but she studied New Thought and Christian Science. She recited, I am a child of God, and therefore I do not inherit sickness. And then she was totally healed within 2 years. She began healing others, supposedly. Due to Myrtle's success, Charles began studying the occult. He saw many contradictions in the occult, yet he could not deny its results. Charles began quoting positive affirmations and was healed of faulty vision and a short right leg. By the way, you go to occultic healing places and even sometimes hyper-Pentecostal healing, and they're going to blame all your back problems on one leg is shorter than the other. And then they're going to do something where you're going to feel like your leg really does heat up, and they're going to convince you that your leg was just extended and now your back problems are gone. I mean, this is crazy occultic, hypnotic suggestion type stuff.
You know the part where she said, I'm a child of God, and therefore I do not inherit sickness?
Mm-hmm.
That does sound like what you call agreement. Well,
yeah,
I mean, yeah, in the Christian church, what do you call them? The name and claim it.
Name and claim it, positive confession. Yeah, and that's why I say these guys blended the mind science cults with biblical Christianity, and since the mind science cults is really Hinduism disguised, camouflaged with Christian terminology, that the Kenneth Hagins, Kenneth Copelands, Frederick Price, Benny Hinn, these guys are actually they're actually not Christians. They're actually, they've got a blending of biblical Christianity and Hindu mind science type thought. Okay, Charles Fillmore in 1893 began to teach the doctrine of reincarnation. Did Mary Baker Eddy teach reincarnation? No, because she didn't believe in the physical realm. And she was actually more consistent with her rejection of the existence of the physical realm than the Hindus are. Because they teach the physical realm is an illusion, but they also teach in reincarnation, which necessitates the physical realm. But Mary Baker Eddy didn't believe in reincarnation. Charles Fillmore, what you see with him now is he's getting a smorgasbord of Eastern religious ideas. He's not tied down just to Mary Baker Eddy and Christian Science thought. So then in 1906, he broke from the New Thought movement. You know, he was kind of on his own at that point. And his wife Myrtle died in 1931. Charles stated in public his intention to never see death, yet he died in 1948. Their descendants still head the organization today. Well, these are from my notes written about 15 years ago, so I'm not sure who the leaders are at this point, but it was being passed down to their descendants. Unity currently publishes three magazines, Unity, which contains their metaphysical truths, their Daily Word, which is devotional. Many Christians will read their Daily Word, not knowing who it's coming from. And then We Wisdom, which is for children. I've seen Christian children's churches with We Wisdom laying around. So you have to be very careful, because the cults love to share their literature with Christians. Their headquarters, Lee Summit, Missouri, they had at one time over 300 churches, even though they claimed not to be a church. We just had one that we almost bought their building on Prairie Avenue. And now I believe a Christian church bought it. But they've circulated millions of magazines worldwide. At the point I wrote this, they had over 1 million active members, over 4 million readers and followers worldwide. Probably more than that today, but not that much more. Their ability to continue to grow and succeed, at least, and keep the ship afloat, is the fact that Charles Fillmore liked to be very eclectic in his approach. So they're able to fellowship with New Age type thinkers. So there's a lot of New Agers that don't affiliate with any one church, but if you cornered them, they'd say, yeah, Unity, I agree with a lot of what Unity School of Christianity is teaching. They teach man is divine. We all have the Christ consciousness within us. But by the way, here's a big difference between Christian Science and Unity School of Christianity. Christian scientists are pantheists. Where God is everything, or God is the universe. Unity School of Christianity, they're panentheists. Where God is in the universe. So the universe is God's body. Okay? So these guys, Christian Science denies the physical world whereas Unity School accepts the physical world. And because Unity accepts the physical world, it makes it easier for them to accept reincarnation. Okay.
So what do Christian Scientists think happens when you die? Well, I mean, I know you said they don't live that.
Yeah, that's an illusion, so it's just basically...
Just keep on...
Well,
on.
We're all... It's not like we need to be saved, it's like we're all already saved, we just don't know it. So, you kind of merge with the world soul, and you're... Christ consciousness becomes part of it,
So all the spirit...
Well, without reincarnation, it just seems like Mary Baker Eddy gets no head start on anybody else, you know? But, so they thought that man is divine, we all have Christ consciousness within us. Jesus was a mere man, he's not uniquely God. Christ is the divine mind in Jesus that all people have. Jesus merely displayed it more than anyone else. By the way, this kind of thinking has crept into a lot of liberal Christian thought, where like liberal thinkers like Fosdick, when liberal theologians say that I will not give up on the divinity of Christ, what they're talking about is the spark of divinity in Jesus and in all other people. So it's like, no, dude, you gave up a long time ago. But 1 John chapter 2, verse 22. 1 John 2, verse 22. Who is a liar? But he who denies that Jesus is the Christ, he is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. So these guys are teaching, just like Christian Science, Jesus is not the Christ. Well, yes, he is. All bad things do not exist. So good things do. So sin, the devil, punishment, pain, death do not exist. Obviously, the scriptures teach that those things do exist. Where they differ from the Unity, from Christian Science, beautiful sunset, nice green valley, that's real, okay? But they believe that Unity School of Christianity teaches reincarnation until physical immortality is achieved through sexual desirelessness. That was, Fillmore had some weird stuff. Eventually, everyone... will eventually be saved. So you can look at the passages. So this stuff is so blatantly false, it almost doesn't even need a refutation. But you can look at the passages in the Advanced Cults Lecture Series volume. If anybody's watching these or listening to these on online, you can just go to, I think the Advanced Cults can be bought through Amazon.com. So just go to Amazon.com, do a search of my name and look for it. The ultimate authority is your own, the small inner voice, your own communication with God, not the Bible. It's your own Christ consciousness. They encourage meditation and occultic practices. They believe God is non-personal. God is life. That Jesus is not the way, he's the way shower. This is all stuff we talked about with when we dealt with Christian Science cult. Charles Fillmore taught the second coming of Christ is the spiritual awakening now taking place in the world. So this is one of the reasons why Unity is very popular in New Age circles, where once all mankind realizes that man is God, will achieve the Omega point, have a new age of spiritual righteousness and peace on the planet Earth. Unity School of Christianity teaches that man is not in a sinful, fallen state because there is no sin. Instead of atonement, they call it at-one-ment, being at one with the divine mind, kind of becoming one with God. And they would say, well, the Bible is only one of many sacred books, and they would encourage people to read Hindu scriptures and the Buddhist writings and things of that sort, New Age writings. And so that's about it. Now, I think Stan said he's going to come by if anybody wants to go to the library and check out any other books to help you on your paper and all. But that's about all I have for you, unless you got some. Anybody has any questions there?
I was just going to say, this has to do with the the Christianity, what's in the church about, you know, name and claim and all that. What happened to me, and to me, it just wasn't right. But it's all the same period of time, in fact, like 1990. So I was, one of my sons was born with transverse arteries, and so at 5 days old, he had an open heart arterial switch. It was life-saving, he would have died. And he was at the children's own month. Well, at the same time, see, my mom and sister were born with Marfan syndrome, which weakens and affects connective tissue, which is cardiovascular joint. And to me, God brought him.